Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to recognize this if you've listened to my sermon, because this is the Easter sermon that I had planned on, but I'm going to embellish it a little bit more today. I thought it was interesting because Jesus talks about ascending. Today is Ascension. All right, so we're doing Easter, Ascension. Next week is Pentecost. So we're doing is putting the whole church here, one section here, which I find very interesting. Reader's Digest version. There we go. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Well, I've heard this a lot on Sunday and Monday, but I have to say I had to chuckle a bit. So why do you ask about this incredulously? Listen to the difference. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Not he has risen, which is past tense. Is risen is present tense. Well, why is that important? Okay, it's just a little thing. Well, because he is risen yesterday, he is risen today, and he is risen tomorrow. See what I'm getting at? Okay. Every Sunday actually is a celebration of the rising Christ. Did you know that? That's why we have Sunday services, because of the day he rose from the dead. Well, Easter one is more special because that's when we actually celebrate it. But every one that comes up to that is why. You know, that's why we say, you know, during Lent, we talk about the Sundays not being in Lent, but of Lent. Okay? Why? Well, because Sunday service is not part of Lent. You know, Sundays are special. It's the day of our risen Lord. You know, it's a subtle difference in English, but there's a huge difference in it, theologically speaking, which is important. Well, today is Ascension too. And in today's parlance, this is the day that Jesus decided he'd go work at home. That's right. Should I get the jar? No.
She outraged you on that one.
Oh. But, you know, it's one of those things, it's important, okay? But I think, too, Easter is important, too, because the rising of Jesus is a thing that had never happened before. It hasn't happened since. So my focus today is going to be on the trip of Mary Magdalene to the tomb on that Sunday morning so long ago. Well, the two Marys, you know, the other thing is, that one of the other Gospels talks about both Marys with. This one only talks about the one Mary, okay? But the two Marys had to hurry to quickly prepare the body of Jesus on late afternoon Friday after the crucifixion. Why? Because it's the Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath after sunset. And he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so by the time you get him down off the cross, it's probably 4. You know, you got a couple hours in there that you got to prepare the body, get him in the tomb, and get it sealed. So, I mean, you got to work quickly. That's right. In fact, you have to have somebody buried within 3 days. Okay. Well, so what happened, it was a rush job at the tomb. So on Sunday morning, the day after the Sabbath, Mary went to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for his full burial. And she was hoping to convince the Roman soldiers to roll that stone back when she got to the tomb. So she arrives before dawn. And excuse me if I sound a little funny. You know, I've been having dental work done, and they rebuilt these two teeth, and they both broke off again. So now they got to pull it. They were going to do oral surgery, and then everything closed down. So I apologize for doing this. Okay. It's frustrating. Well, when she gets there, there's no soldiers at the tomb. That stone slab is already rolled back, and it's open. Well, Mary thought that somebody had actually stolen the body of Jesus. But, you know, here's something when you're thinking with your emotions. Instead of looking in the tomb, she runs back to the upper room to tell the disciples that somebody stole Jesus. Now, this is where the story gets interesting, but it's interesting to me. So Simon Peter and the other disciple, and because it's John, who in the Gospel of John always refers to himself in the third person, he's the disciple that Jesus loved, you know, he never says I, it's always the third person. They run to the tomb. So John gets to the tomb before Peter does. But he's chicken. He won't look in the tomb. So Peter gets to the tomb and he enters. Well, the first thing that Peter sees are the linen cloths lying on the slab. Now, I find it interesting because one of the apocryphal gospels states the linens were folded and laid on the stone. Well, all this one says is that the head linen was folded and laid. But I would imagine the other ones too. I mean, you wouldn't just do one and not do the others. Now, it's still dawn on Sunday, and it's dark in the tomb. So after seeing the empty tomb, they run back to the other disciples. They really never had gone in the tomb yet. So neither of the disciples entered the dark tomb. They just looked around the corner of the door. So finally, Mary enters the tomb. And she sees two angels sitting at the head and the foot of the stone slab. So imagine if this was long enough for a body. We have an angel on this side and an angel on that side. Well, let's go back to the story as John relates it to us in Scripture. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. By the way, Aramaic is the common form of Hebrew. That's the everyday language. So you've got two languages going on at this time. You have Aramaic and Greek. And Hebrew is actually a dead language. Nobody speaks it. Okay? It wasn't until modern Israel that Hebrew actually became a spoken language again. So Mary was in the dark tomb, and she turned around to look out the door. Well, it's dawn, and doors face the east. All right, so you can see the sun coming up, and all you see is that bright light with a figure in front of it. Okay, you can't tell who it is. She thinks it's a gardener. And he also asks, "Why is she weeping, and can't you hear her trying to talk through her weeping? Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." I mean, I can hear Mary talking that way. And Jesus says to her, "Mary." And she responds, "Teacher." And she falls at his feet and grabs her risen Lord. I want to talk about that tomb for a moment. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And sepulchre means tomb. It's a beautiful little building that is built around the supposed stone slab and tomb of Jesus. And what it is, this little building is actually inside the cathedral. The cathedral was raised around it. Now, this little building is beautiful, but the current edition has stood for over 1,000 years. In fact, that little building, and there was a cathedral there before too, that was built about 400 AD. So that one lasted about 600 years, and then they put a new cathedral on it in the year 1000. But the little building has been there for a long time. Well, anytime you have a stone building that's been there that long and you have earthquakes in the area, it's starting to fall apart. So they fixed it about 200 years ago by putting wire cables around it to hold it together. Now, the stone is getting to the point, it's just falling apart. Now, this Cathedral is under the control of the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Armenian Orthodox Church, and the Egyptian Coptic churches, with no one being in charge. Well, if no one's in charge and they can't get together, it's really surprising anything ever gets done. But the time had come that the churches have to do something. So I'm surprised they decided to take that little building apart, fix everything, and put it back together so it lasts. That's the first time that this had happened since 700 AD. That's 1,300 years. I wonder what happens at some of our houses if we have to fix stuff in the house and want to change something. You know, 1,300 years. You know, when you visit with people, I've been told that the stone slab of Jesus in the tomb is one of the biggest lies of Christianity. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Well, there's no cave. That room is just a room in the church. I mean, you can tell. Well, for the first time in 1,300 years, then, this room was taken apart. The first thing to be revealed inside the room was the stone slab. And it actually had graffiti on it that the Crusaders had put on it in 900 AD. It was a Crusader's cross and things, but they had carved it into the stone. But it's when the walls of that little building were being taken down that the miracle really occurred. They found that this little building had an inner wall and an outer wall. And in between these two walls was the actual stone tomb that was still there that Jesus was laid in. So what they had done is kept the walls of the tomb, ran this building around it, and taken the roof off. But the tomb was still there, even to the point where that trough that the track ran in is still on the floor underneath the slabs that were there. How many of you knew that? Okay, if you heard my sermon before, it even did that. But I find it very interesting. Now, here's the thing that's really interesting about this. If you're interested in it, get on YouTube and go to National Geographic. They've got this whole story photographed, videoed, and you can watch them do this. You know, it's just, there's so much stuff that is based on the empty tomb, which is there. It's in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and Scripture is right. I find that that is just as much of a miracle that it's still there as the resurrection of Jesus. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen. My friends, may the assurance of our risen Lord keep your hearts and minds on the promises of Jesus, eternal life with him in heaven. Alleluia and amen.